Biblical Theology, Chapter 2, Christology, Jesus Christ. Definition. Christology is composed of the words Christ, referring to Jesus Christ, and ology, meaning the study of. Thus, the word Christology deals with the study of Jesus Christ. It is one of three areas related to the study of the triune God, which also includes paterology, the study of God the Father, and pneumatology, the study of the Holy Spirit. Common topics studied in Christology include the pre-existence of Christ, prophecies about him, his humanity and deity, his attributes, names, and titles, his birth, early life, ministry, death, resurrection, ascension, and return, and the offices he holds. The study of Christology is important because Jesus is the unifying theme of all Scripture, as revealed when, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Luke chapter 24, verse 27. The pre-existence of Christ. Prior to his earthly life, Jesus existed in eternity as the second person of the triune Godhead. He was with God in the beginning and was God. John chapter 1, verse 1. John says the Word became flesh, which implies that Jesus existed previous to his incarnation, a word which means that he became flesh. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 14. Jesus himself said that he had glory with the Father before the world was, John chapter 17, verse 5, that he had come from the Father, John chapter 5, verse 43, and chapter 6, verse 38, and that he had existed before Abraham, John chapter 8, verse 58. Revelation chapter 22, verse 13, also confirms Christ's eternal existence when he declares, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. The Apostle Paul said that Christ was rich but became poor, that he was in the form of God but humbled himself, and that he was before all things. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. These phrases all confirm that Jesus existed prior to coming to earth. See also 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45, and Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Prophecies about Jesus Christ. The Old Testament contains many prophecies about Jesus, and the New Testament confirms their validity. A prophecy is an immediate word from God which reveals things about the future which cannot be known by natural wisdom. These prophecies reveal how, when, and where Jesus was to be born, and details about his life, ministry, death, and resurrection, such as the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. See Micah chapter 5, verse 2, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, and Luke chapter 2, verses 4 to 6. The Messiah would be born of a woman. See Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, and Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. The Messiah would be born of a virgin. See Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 to 23, and Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. The Messiah would come from the line of Abraham. See Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, and chapter 22, verse 18, Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, and Romans chapter 9, verse 5. The Messiah would be a descendant of Isaac. Genesis chapter 17, verse 19, and chapter 21, verse 12, and Luke chapter 3, verse 34. The Messiah would be a descendant of Jacob. Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, and Matthew chapter 1, verse 2. The Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. See Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, and Luke chapter 3, verse 33, and Hebrews chapter 7, verse 14. The Messiah would be heir to King David's throne. See 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 to 13, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, Luke chapter 1, verses 32 to 33, and Romans chapter 1, verse 3. The Messiah's throne will be eternal. Psalm chapter 45, verses 6 to 7, Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, Luke chapter 1, verse 33, and Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. He would be called Emmanuel, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. He would be the Son of God, Psalm chapter 2, verse 7, and Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5, and chapter 5, verse 5. He would spend time in Egypt, Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, and Matthew chapter 2, verses 14 to 15. A massacre of children would happen at his birthplace, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 15, and Matthew chapter 2, verses 16 to 18. A messenger would prepare the way for him, Isaiah 40, verses 3 to 5, Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, Matthew chapter 11, verses 10 to 13, and Luke chapter 3, verses 3 to 6. He would be preceded by the ministry of Elijah, Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 to 6, and Matthew chapter 11, verses 13 to 14. He would be rejected by his own people, Psalm 69, verse 8, and Isaiah 53, verse 3, and John chapter 1, verse 11, and chapter 7, verse 5. He would be a prophet, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, Acts chapter 3, verses 20 to 22. He would be declared to be the Son of God, Psalm chapter 2, verse 7, and Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. He would be called a Nazarene, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, and Matthew chapter 2, verse 23. He would be called King, Psalm chapter 2, verse 6, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, Matthew chapter 27, verse 37, and Mark 11, verses 7 to 11. He would bring light, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 2, in Matthew chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. He would teach using parables, Psalm 78, verses 2 to 4, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 to 10, Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 15, and verses 34 to 35. He would heal the brokenhearted, Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 2, Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 19. He would be a priest after the order of Melchizedek, Psalm 110, verse 4, and Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 to 6. He would receive praise from the children, Psalm 8, verse 2, Matthew chapter 21, verse 16. He would enter Jerusalem in triumph, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, Matthew chapter 21, verses 4 to 5, and John chapter 12, verses 14 to 15. He would be hated without cause, Psalm 35, verse 19. He would be betrayed, Psalm 41, verse 9, Zechariah chapter 11, verses 12 to 13, Luke chapter 22, verses 47 to 48, and Matthew 26, verses 14 to 16. His disciples would scatter, Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, Matthew chapter 26, verses 31 and 56, and Mark chapter 14, verses 27 and 50. The betrayal funds would be used to buy a potter's field, Zechariah chapter 11, verses 12 to 13, Matthew chapter 27, verses 9 to 10. He would be falsely accused, Psalm 35, verse 11, Mark chapter 14, verses 57 to 58. He would be silent before his accusers, Isaiah 53, verse 7, Mark chapter 15, verses 4 to 5. He would be abused. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6, Matthew chapter 26, verse 67, Psalm 69, verse 4, and John 15, verses 24 to 25. He would be crucified with criminals. Isaiah 53, verse 12, Matthew chapter 27, verse 38, Mark chapter 15, verses 27 through 28. His hands and feet would be pierced. Psalm 22, verse 16, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, and John chapter 20, verses 25 to 27. He would be offered vinegar to drink. Psalm 69, verse 21, Matthew chapter 27, verse 34, and John chapter 19, verses 28 to 30. He would be mocked. Psalm 22, verses 7 to 8, and Luke chapter 23, verse 35. He would bear our shame. Psalm 69, verse 19, and Matthew chapter 27, verse 28. Soldiers would gamble for his garments. Psalm 22, verse 18, Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Matthew chapter 27, verses 35 to 36. He would be forsaken by God. Psalm 22, verse 1, Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. He would pray for his enemies. Isaiah 53, verse 12, Luke 23, verse 34. He would be numbered with criminals. Isaiah 53, verse 12, and Luke chapter 23, verse 33. He would die by crucifixion. Isaiah 53, verses 5 to 6 and verse 10, and John chapter 19, verse 16. He would thirst. Psalm 69, verse 3, John 19, verse 28. He would be stared at. Psalm 22, verse 17, and Matthew chapter 27, verse 36. He would commend his spirit to God. Psalm 31, verse 5, and Luke chapter 23, verse 46. He would be the ultimate sacrifice for sin. Isaiah 53, verses 5 through 12, Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. His death would secure many brethren. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. He would lead captivity captive. Psalm 68, verse 18, and Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. His bones would not be broken. Exodus chapter 12, verse 46, Psalm 34, verse 20, John 19, verses 33 to 36. His side would be pierced. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, and John chapter 19, verse 34. Blood and water would flow from his body. Psalm 22, verse 14, and John 19, verse 34. He would be buried with the rich. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 9, and Matthew chapter 27, verses 57 through 60. He would be resurrected from the dead. Psalm 16, verse 10, and 49, verse 15, Matthew chapter 28, verses 2 to 7, and Acts chapter 2, verses 22 to 32. He would ascend to heaven. Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10, Mark chapter 16, verse 19, and Luke chapter 24, verse 51. He would be seated at God's right hand. Psalm 68, verse 18, and 110, verse 1, Mark chapter 16, verse 19, and Matthew chapter 22, verse 44. Jesus predicted his death and resurrection. See Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 through 19, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and his ascension. See Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 53, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18 speaks specifically of an unknown future time at which the dead in Christ will rise first, followed by all living believers immediately ascending into the air to be with Jesus forever. The book of Revelation reveals that 7 years of judgment will occur after the rapture, followed by Christ's return to earth with believers to defeat the enemy. At that time, Jesus will fulfill his role as the Messiah and reign from his throne in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. This is known as the Millennial Kingdom. See Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. At the end of this time, one final rebellion will take place by Satan, followed by final judgment. For expanded studies on this subject, see the chapter on eschatology in this manual. The humanity and deity of Jesus Christ. God the Son, Jesus Christ, combines both the divine and the human natures in one union. God the Father sent Jesus Christ to earth in human form while yet retaining his divine nature. Jesus was sent by God to earth so man could be pardoned from sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. The story of the earthly ministry of Jesus is recorded in the Bible in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These books provide a detailed record of the birth, life, death, resurrection, teachings, and ministry of Jesus Christ. As part of the plan of God, Jesus came to earth in human form, ministered among men, died for the sins of man, was resurrected from the dead, and commissioned his followers to bear the gospel to the nations of the world. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 11 reveals that Jesus is God, and that he willingly became a man so that he could die for the sins of mankind. This is called the kenosis doctrine. This passage affirms that he is always God who became man, and he will forevermore be God and man in one person. This doctrine is called the hypostatic union. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 reveals that Jesus Christ is both the Son of God and God who became man. 1 Timothy 3:16 says that Jesus was revealed in the flesh, which indicates his existence as God before he was revealed in human form. Romans chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 confirms that Jesus is a descendant of David on the human side and the Son of God on the divine side. There is ample evidence in the Bible that proves that Jesus was truly and thoroughly human. He had human names, example, Jesus, Son of David, and related to other people as a human being. See John chapter 9, verse 16. Jesus had a body, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, spoke human languages, referred to himself as a man. See John chapter 8, verse 40. And other people referred to him as a man. See Acts chapter 3, verse 22. Jesus experienced life as a human being. See Luke chapter 2, verse 52, including hunger, Matthew chapter 4, verse 2, thirst, John chapter 19, verse 28, weariness, John chapter 4, verse 6, and sorrow, John chapter 11, verse 35, and Luke chapter 13, verses 34 to 35. He also experienced death, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 to 15. The Bible confirms that while Jesus was flesh, he was also God. John says he was divine. See John chapter 1, verse 1. Paul says he is the very form of God, Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, and our great God and Savior, Titus chapter 2, verse 13. He is referred to as Lord, Matthew chapter 2, verses 43 to 45, and the King of Kings, Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. Jesus did the works of God, including creating, John chapter 1, verse 3, and Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. Sustaining, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. Saving, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Raising the dead, John chapter 5, verse 25. Judging, John chapter 5, verse 27. Sending the Holy Spirit, John chapter 14, verse 26, and chapter 15, verse 26. And building the true church, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Jesus accepts worship from men, Matthew chapter 14, verse 33, and angels, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6. And someday in the future, all men will bow before him, Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, and Isaiah chapter 45, verse 23. His miracles demonstrated his supernatural power over sickness, the elements, and death. He promises forgiveness of sins, answers to prayer, and eternal life. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, John chapter 10, verses 27 through 33, and chapter 14, verses 13 to 14. Because Jesus was both human and divine, the question has been raised as to whether his temptations by Satan were valid and whether it was even possible for him to have sinned. The bottom line in this debate is that Jesus was both God and man. As a man in human form, he was victorious over temptation, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, and can help us in our own times of temptation, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. Attributes of Jesus Christ. Because he is part of the Trinity of God, Jesus Christ has the same attributes as God. The Bible verifies these in the following verses. Jesus is omnipotent, or all-powerful, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Omniscient, knows everything, Matthew chapter 16, verse 30, and John chapter 21, verse 17. Omnipresent, present everywhere, Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, and chapter 28, verse 20. Eternal, has no beginning or end, John chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, and chapter 8, verse 58. Unchangeable, remains the same, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Perfect, absolutely holy, Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, and chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. Names and titles of Jesus Christ. How Jesus received his names. Jesus received his name in the three ways that great men receive their names on earth. By birth. Jesus received his name by birth through inheritance from his Father. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Jesus inherited a name greater than any other being in the universe. His name is greater than any king, president, or tribal leader. It is greater than the name of any angel in heaven. By achievement. Jesus also received his name by achievement because he conquered all the power of the enemy. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shew of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. By conferring, Jesus also received his name by having it conferred upon him. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11.